The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Well, now this is interesting. This is really interesting. Almost all legislation has unintended consequences. Sometimes those unintended consequences are very bad. Sometimes the unintended consequences are pretty good. Well, this is a case of unintended consequences that are great. The state of Texas, not long ago, passed a new law that bans government partnership with any abortion providers in the state and their affiliates. Now, this is particularly aimed, obviously, at Planned Parenthood. No state tax dollars down in Texas for Planned Parenthood. We have a law here in Ohio. It's been challenged in the courts. We have no idea what's going to happen with that. But Texas has passed this law. No government partnership, no financial assistance to an abortion provider and their affiliates. Now, what are the unintended consequences? I have talked to you often about the sex ed curriculum from Planned Parenthood. It's porn. It's pornographic. Parents who have seen it, whether they're liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat, atheist or Christian, most parents who have any objective mind at all have looked at the curriculum from Planned Parenthood and said, whoa, parts of that are just pure porn. And most parents have said, nah, that goes too far. I don't know about many teachers, but some teachers have said, that goes too far. That's one of the reasons why I am so proud to be a supporter of RUC, Relationships Under Construction. We have Catherine Wood on the program every 2 to 3 months, and she shares with us about the curriculum for RUC, Relationships Under Construction. They're doing the same thing that Planned Parenthood is, except they're using a biblical model. Now, because they're in the public schools, they can't use scripture, but it's biblical truth, biblical principles, traditional family, traditional marriage, and so on and so on and so on. As opposed to Planned Parenthood, when it comes to sex education, Planned Parenthood, their basic premise is kids are going to do it anyway, so let's teach them how to do it right. And I'm trying to be careful here. So they can enjoy it, because they're going to do it anyway. There's no use telling them no. There's no use. No, they're going to do it anyway. Well, anyway, back to Texas. It was discovered after the law was passed and signed that this meant the Planned Parenthood curriculum for sex ed in Texas is now illegal, because it's paid for by government entities, public schools in Texas. That's tax dollars. That's government money. And the portion of Planned Parenthood that puts out the sex ed curriculum is an affiliate of Planned Parenthood. And again, the Texas law bans government partnerships with abortion providers and their affiliates. And so, School districts across Texas are communicating with the State House in Austin, Texas, and saying, wait a minute, does this mean that we can no longer purchase sex ed curriculum from Planned Parenthood? The Austin School District alone was planning on spending $86,000 just this month on curriculum from Planned Parenthood. Well, the school board has put off a scheduled vote that was supposed to be taken on June 17th about the curriculum from Planned Parenthood. They have postponed it until August until they can get a legal clarification. Senate Bill 22 bans, quote, certain transactions between a government entity and abortion provider or affiliate of the provider. Quote, the district's proposed purchase of the Planned Parenthood influence curriculum could be considered a prohibited taxpayer resource transaction. It could also get snagged by a ban on advocacy or lobbying by the school district on behalf of the interests of abortion providers and their affiliates, and so on and so on and so on. Governor Greg Abbott signed the bill into law just last week. And so they are just now beginning to sort out all of the legal ramifications. And I don't think anybody discussed this when it was being debated at the State House in Texas. But now that it has passed and is now law, school boards across Texas are saying, maybe we can't buy Planned Parenthood curriculum. Wouldn't that be great? That would be wonderful. A wonderful unintended consequence. That's going to go to the courts in Texas, and we will keep an eye on it. All right, now real quick, I'm going to have to get into this quick. Fascinating story from The Atlantic magazine. Headline, are McMansions making people any happier? It confirms what you and I know. Houses in America continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's happening everywhere. When Joy and I moved to Westerville, Ohio in 1976, God was so good to us. We were young kids moving here from Wichita, Kansas to start a brand new church. We were broke. We had no money. But by God's grace, we were able to rent a brand new house, brand new, fresh built, in Amherst Village. In 1976, Amherst Village was the place to live. It was the place to live. That's where the upper crust, well, it wasn't snooty, but that was where the upper crust lived, Amherst Village, 1976. And then they built, I think it was called the Overlook, which was behind Amherst Village. Houses quite a bit bigger and quite a bit more expensive. And I remember a whole bunch of people who lived around us in Amherst Village sold their house and moved to the Overlook. It was bigger, better, and more expensive. And that was where all the upper crust people in Westerville lived. And then about 5-6 years later, they built what, River something, or maybe it was River something and then the Overlook, I don't know. But just up the road, just a little bit north, bigger, more expensive houses, and a whole bunch of people who had first lived in Amherst and then moved to the second place, sold their house and moved because they had to be in the biggest and the best and the biggest. And of course, now in Westerville, it's not uncommon to find a $1 million house. The former governor of Ohio lived in a housing development in Westerville that are like 5 times the size of the house that Joy and I lived in back in 1976. In order, statistically, in 1973, the average house in America had right at 1,500 square feet. That was 1973. The median size house was 1,500 square feet. By 2015, that had reached 2,500 square feet. In 1973, Each newly built house had an average of 507 square feet per person in the house. In 2015, that had increased to 971 square feet per person. So in other words, the median size of houses in the last 30, 40 years has doubled and in some places tripled. The median size house. Now, what is the purpose of this lengthy article from The Atlantic? After extensive research, it was discovered the size of the house had nothing to do with happiness or a feeling of success. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. If we could just get a bigger house, we would be happy. No, 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 no. This finding, quote, has to do with how people, listen to this, how people compare their houses with others in the neighborhood. The article goes on and says, you get your new house built and you're the biggest on the block. And then somebody down the street builds a bigger house, a little fancier, a little more expensive. And if you were determining your happiness on the size of your house, you lose that happiness the minute someone you know or someone in your neighborhood builds a bigger house. This is a completely secular publication coming to the conclusion the size of your house has nothing to do with your happiness. In fact, for people who are linking their happiness to the size of their house, they are some of the most unhappy people around because there's always somebody who has one bigger. Man, I think about the house that my parents lived in when I was in high school and compare it to the house that Joy and I don't live in a fancy house by any means. We have a wonderful house and we're very thankful for it. But my goodness, it's not fancy. But it's probably three times the size of the house that my parents lived in when I was in high school. It was tiny. It was tiny. We were fine. Just another reminder, folks, particularly for us who know Christ, our identity is not in things and stuff and houses and jobs and money. Our identity is in Christ. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Hey, I have abounded and I was happy. I have been abased. I've been in prison. And I was happy there as well. But Paul said he had to learn that. If Paul had to learn it, I would imagine we would have to as well. Got to take a break, way over time. We'll be back and have the final segment of today's program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
This is an absolutely fascinating article from a publication called The Stream. I'm not really that familiar with them. I don't know where they are politically, theologically. I honestly don't know. I have read several articles that they have published recently, but I honestly don't know anything about them. I don't know who they are, where they're from. I don't know whether they're conservative, liberal. I don't know. I just know that they put out some good stuff. Well, one of their writers, Rob Schwartzwalder, wrote this commentary yesterday. And the headline, "When Liberal Protestantism Declines, the Democrats Get Worse." He begins by saying, "The declining numbers in liberal Protestant churches has created a serious problem. For them, of course, but also for the Democrats and therefore our nation." And then he goes on and talks about how liberal Democrats have been rooted in the mainline Protestant churches, the mainline Protestant denominations, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, United Church of Christ, and so forth. Mainline Protestant churches have been connected to Democrats for a long time, and that is absolutely true. And what the writer is saying is, at least the Democrats had some moral foundation. These churches were liberal. They didn't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. They didn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. But they did have basic morality about marriage, family, sexuality, race, life, abortion, and so forth. So as long as the mainline denominations were somewhat healthy and the Democrats were loud and proud in connecting to these denominations, at least the Democrats had some kind of moral foundation. But as everyone knows, the mainline Protestant denominations have lost their moral compass. No longer do the mainline Protestant denominations believe in traditional marriage, God's definition of sex and sexuality, marriage and the family. No longer do they have the moral foundation that they once had. And because of that, Democrats have lost their moral footing as well. So now, those Democrats that continue to be linked to the mainline Protestant denominations have no moral compass at all because the denominations that they're a part of has no moral compass either. Fascinating article. When liberal Protestantism declines, the Democrats get worse. Well written, thought-provoking, and I think very true. Well, this is also true. I am so grateful that you joined me on the program today. Every day I'm grateful that you take a little bit of time out of your day. I know you're busy, and there are dozens of radio programs you could be listening to. You could be listening to music. You could be doing all kinds of things. But you choose to spend some time with us each day, and I don't want to take that for granted, and I'm going to continue doing my best to get information out to you that is helpful. Hey, have a great, great evening. But please, wherever you go and whatever you do, remember whose you are.
Listen. Listen. Think. Think. Discern. Discern.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.